Blog Talk Radio.
Riding through Jamaica, Queens in his black truck. Tim's was 40 below, waves to the side of his dome. Definition of good, nigga, yo. Gangsters don't die, niggas only become immortal. Angels don't only fly, they walk right before you, in front of you. It's foul with this money, cause you cash corrupt and loyal. I hung with E-Money too, the fucking truth. Fucker with Stretch from Live Squad, I could've died the same night the Stretch died. I just got out of his ride, he dropped me off and drove to Springfield. November 30th, another Queens King kill. It fucked me up, y'all. I was just trying to make it with Steve South, the legal way, drug-free route. Back in the days, they was sleeping on us. Brooklyn keep on taking it, Manhattan keep on making it, trying to leave Queens out. But we was pulling them beans out, them M3s out, pumping, bringing them D's out. Rasta selling chocolate weed inside of a weed house. Coliseum downstairs, gold teeth mouth. A story of warriors, A Street, twin buildings, burning. Can't even count the living sin children. Justice in Ravenswood, nice neighborhood. Caught sleeping out there, be a rap though. Bridge niggas, be up in PD 10 racks, yo. A simple bet on a serious cash flow. Get money, Manolo, welcome home, Castro. Queens Bridge unified, all I ask for. Let's do it for DU. Say what up to Sacks, yo. I just salute real niggas when I pass through. Niggas is very hungry for that bank robbery, bury money, trying to get to a Benz from a Hyundai. The Queens Courthouse right next to the cemetery. Niggas rap sheets look like obituaries. You be starving in cute gardens. Bolognese and milk from a small carton. You can still feel chills from the team on 118. My nigga Ben fly by like it's a dream. His face on his shirt kings, laced in a pinky ring in his black Benz murking. Back when black rock and roll was on the map. Chiba in yellow sacks, dope stolen laundromat. Thugs bark getting amped from weed over the heart of Champion C. Ever since back then, a nigga been about the dough.
You all know how to store. We go, go, go.
The real niggas in the world besides us, I ask. Probably is, but odds are we'll never cross paths. Put your glass high if you made it out the stash spot and here to tell a story and celebrate the glory. Drinks in the air for my niggas not here. This how we do. I see you, D.U. Queens to the heavens. Salute the hood legends. Crack the Patron Hennessy and Glenn Levitt. Champagne bottles, drowning out the sorrows. Hope the memories will get us through tomorrow. I'm a real OG. Cause back in 93, niggas couldn't fuck with me. Sipping yak since I was little, laid back in the rental. Mouth shining, 80s gold caps all up in the dental. Nigga getting money now, but you know I'm still mental. But not simple, put your glass high. If you made it out the stash spot and here to tell your story and celebrate the glory. Drinks in the air for my niggas not here. This for the fallen soldiers. Hold it down, I told ya. Pop another bottle and keep the smoke rolling. Watch the calm realist, channel his mom's spirit. Goosebumps cover me, mother's here, I can feel her. Blood of Christ covers me, our savior and healer. Drug prices up and down, I know a few dealers and some accident murderers. They act like they killed on purpose. Liars brag, they put work in. You ain't mean to murk him, your gun's a virgin. Better stay on point, if not, it's curtains. Bebo posse reincarnated through me probably. If music money didn't stop me, I never claim to be the toughest. Though I'm to blame for a few faces reconstructed. It's the game that we were stuck in. Now I'm the only black in the club with rich yuppie kids. Sad thing, this is the top, but where the hustles went. No familiar faces around, ain't gotta grab the musket. It's all safe to sound, champagne by the bucket. Where them niggas I shouted out on my first shit. Bow cooking blow, fucking slay that where turkey went. Old video show niggas that was murdered since. Another reason to get further bent. Put your glass high if you made it out the stash spot and here to tell your story and celebrate the glory. Drinks in the air for my niggas not here. This for the fallen soldiers. Hold it down, I told ya. Pop another bottle and keep the smoke rolling.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Welcome again to tonight's show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about agents of separations. sellouts and Judases. These are men and women who organize, who infiltrate organizations and who have hidden agendas, which usually include spying, creating adversity. Why are they always the ones closest to the leaders of different organizations? Why is their agenda always seems to be brought out because of a dollar, and they seem to forget that they also benefit from the for the cause that they're supposed to be down with? This is what we're talking about tonight. Our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. Also, the chat room is open tonight. Feel free to leave your comments. They will be responded to. Again, our topic tonight is agents of separation. You know who they are. The ones that come aboard, say they're down for the cause, but in reality, they're there to sabotage any kind of movement. They're spying. They're telling because they sold out for a dollar. Or actually, they really oppose what you're doing. And these is generally your own kind, those who you trust, you least expect. Why does this go on a constant basis? Is this one of the reasons why we can't achieve what we need to achieve as African Americans or any other race in society? Because of the folks that come in and sell out. They're always creating some kind of adversity within your organization. When you're trying to go one way, they always have to be the one to make you want to go a different way. This is what we're talking about tonight. If you have any experience with this, please call in, share your thoughts, your view. This is our discussion tonight. We're talking about sellouts and those that we call Judas. Okay? And we all know who Judas was. He was the sellout in Jesus' camp. Okay? This is worldwide. This is what prevents people from advancing. This is what gets leaders assassinated because of agents of separation. Call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Feel free to call in with your views and your comments and your experience on how you feel about tonight's topic. If you call in, please be aware of background noise. We're taping, and we try to have a clear taping. So, you know, put the kids in the room, the cat, the dog, turn the radio down, TV, etc., so we can have a decent taping. Again, you're listening to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Radio, and I'm your host, Tony Nix. This is your show. Feel free to call in. I'm waiting because I need to hear from you, because this is a topic that has been on my mind. This is an issue that prevents us from advancing, and we need to stop it. We need to talk about it. We need to stop acting like it doesn't exist, okay? Time to get rid of the sellouts. It's time to get rid of the agents of separation. There's just some things that we're trying to do. We don't need nobody selling out, okay? We don't need nobody creating adversity because it's going on as I speak. We have leaders who lead and who are doing the best they can, and they have people in their camps who are really spies, who are really not on their team. You know, actually, they're just spooks who are sitting by the door. Have you had this experience? Call in and let me know. 424-258-9271. The lines is open. I'll be waiting. We're going to get this thing going in just a moment. But right now, we're going to take a small break, and we'll be back right after this.
In the pain, betrayal, took what you're facing, gave your heart away. And all the remedies couldn't ease the pain. All the hurt and betrayal needs to get away. In a world so cold, you gained the light just to lose your soul. Never thinking twice about what the future. All the lies in the game that I was fighting for. The world is an addiction.
Snitches and rapists in the streets, crowd to the fullest. Ask the niggas if they got any extra 9 bullets. They deny me that. They know the bullets they loan me be the same ones that probably had them lying flat, stressed out, letter T. It's better to dead a beast than let it breathe, then we don't succeed. Cause then you gotta murder dummies. Waste of time, they allergic to money. I'm never squirmish to blood. Wicked thug, get it out of hand. What's the option? Only conclusion, shooting bullets popping, bullets dropping. For any day, the feds will come knocking. Was young and nervous, asking myself, what's my purpose? In the back of a paddy wagon, bracelets aching me. Pigs ignoring, imagine what preaching they taking me. These cops can't relate to me. Death to prison, empty vacancy.
World is an addiction. Serving up a fix. Someone is an addiction.
Thou shall not be selfish, real nigga commandments. Know a billionaire, he has everything but a fam. Guess how envy this man gets. Has so many bad chicks in his bed. Strange sex, same sex, has addictions that are sadistic. Chain of events, habits. He puts cocaine on his prick and acts sick. Self-esteem needs boosting. Alcohol consumption, nicotine fusion. Some athletes juicing. Pastors quote biblical chapters, song. All along he's in a bestiality porn. And it's wrong, so I keep the Cali weed in the bomb. And I'm strong, but the female anatomy got me strong. And these women need shoes and bags, cars and condos, fine clothes, and these fiends need to get high so they find dope, to mainline dope, and y'all know,
the world is an addiction, serving up a fix, the world is an addiction, way too much for me.
So many vices, habits, mine of course, bad chicks. My response to any advice on what is the essentials of life. I'm just rebellious, not selfish. Guess we all share different definitions of what wealth is. I need the best things in life. That's women, that's cars, cigars, a Venice bottle of ice, it's priceless. The other night, just in the emergency room, patient said she needs to see a doctor soon. Doctor busy operating on a lady who's sedated. He can barely concentrate because he's newly separated. His estranged wife likes entertaining her acquaintance in the house they were married in. Mad people waiting, some young, some old, heads and stomachs, they ain't filling out an application cause they only medication, but the doctor need love or a quick vacation, calling up his travel agent, same time he meditating, murdering his ex-wife, life savage ain't it, some need Xanax, just to maintain it, we all need faith cause the world keeps changing, let go of the illusions, start some restraining.
Just hold on, 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 just hold
Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Welcome back to tonight's show. We're talking about Agents of Separation, Sellouts, and Judas. Call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. I'll bring you in on the conversation. Again, our topic, we're talking about men and women who infiltrate organizations that are about change for the betterment of their people. These men and women who have hidden agendas when they're really spying or creating adversity within the organization. And why are they always closest to the leaders of different organizations? They seem to be the most trusted, and they're always the one that sells out. This is a common practice. What is it? A dollar? Is a dollar more than changing the way people are being treated? Is a dollar worth more than the benefits that everyone will feel as a whole? Do you realize that the cause you will also benefit from? Why is it that people sell out? Why is it that there are agents of separation? Why is it that there's always a Judas in every camp? This is the question I want answers to tonight. This needs to stop in order for especially African Americans to advance. We got to get the sellouts out. If you're selling out, it's time to get the hell out. How do you live with yourself? How do you keep a clear conscience? Is it all about a dollar? Well, I say shame on you. There are people who are about change for whatever the cause may be. My cause is to stop the killing in our communities. My cause is to bring back hope to the troubled youth and young adults. And I have run into some adversity. There are folks who want to be in it, but they only want to be in it for those who really have structure. The ones that don't have structure, they're feeling like, let them go, let them fend for themselves. I don't believe that's right. Why you want to be on the team if you're not a team player? This is the questions I got tonight. I'm going to go to my call-in lines in just a minute. Call-in number again is 424-258-9271. 9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. The chat room is open. You can leave your comments in there. They'll be responded to in accordance to how they came in. I'm going to my first caller tonight. I know this is a man. He's a seasoned gentleman. And I know he's had some experience in his lifetime with cats that have sold out. And they're agents of separation. And I want to welcome him to our show. He's a regular, and he always brings it. Good evening, Doc. Are you there? How are you this evening?
Yeah, Tony, I'm here, brother. Hey, you really put out a topic that's dear to my heart. Agents of Separation, Sellout, and Judas. But I want to put a different twist on it tonight. I thought about it since we talked last this week, and I want to put a different twist on it tonight. You and I both know that we have them, especially in our camp, dealing with Africans living in America, but I think ours comes from a lot of it is in listening to Brother Malcolm. There's two kinds of black folks here in America. There is the field Negro and the house Negro, and you got to decide which one you are. And when I think we still have a whole bunch of house Negroes, and if you're a house Negro, you definitely are going to be an agent of separation and a sellout and a Judah. And so to me, it's pretty simple to figure out which ones that we have. And the camp is really large for the agents of separation, sellout, and Judas. But the twist that I want to put on it is for those folks that haven't read The Art of War by Sun Tzu, a very famous warrior. And when you look at it from that perspective, if you look at it from a war perspective, you're going to send out folks to the other camps to infiltrate and cause disruption. It's a tactic. And a lot of folks that look like you and me have bought into it from the other side, because they definitely have been whitened. You understand what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
They so badly want to fit in the system that they will do anything to fit in the system. They have sold out, bought out, and sold their soul. And so we have to be on the lookout and understand that this is a war. And if you read Sun Tzu, you'll understand it. This is the art of war. So that's the twist I want to put on it tonight. Don't take it personal, brother, because this is the art of war.
Well, Doc, I have to agree with you. You know, you brought up that book. And, wow, that is, for me, a must-read for especially a lot of young men, because it's a book, for me, that needs to be read, just like, you know, reading the biography of Malcolm X. You know, you broke it down to all the way back to slavery, you know. What I don't understand is that this is repeated over and over again. You know, we have people that sell out, got people that create adversity, and, you know, they sell out for a dollar, they sell out for fear, not realizing that those that you're selling out on, you're going to be treated just like them. Nobody's going to trust you because you're a rat, number one. You're a rat. So you're not going to be trusted. So, you know, you're thinking that they're going to appreciate what you've done and you're on their team when you're not really on their team. You know, all you got to do is look at the history of those who have sold out and see what the end result has been for them. Read the Bible. See what happened to Judas. His ending was not pretty. You know?
Right.
I think folks choose to ignore the results of that kind of practice.
Right.
They get this sense of they're either immune to it or exempt from it. When if you're an African-American, you are not exempt. Trust and
right.
believe. You are not exempt because they're going to look at you and say, if you sold out your own people, we know what you'll do for us. We'll know
right.
what you'll do for us. You know, and it seems like a lot of us have not caught on to the fact that if you're going to be in something, be in it wholeheartedly, not with malicious plans. Not with malicious plans. There's been a lot of leaders who have been assassinated because they had sellouts in their camp. And the sellout is usually that person standing right next to you. The one that you least expect is the one who will sell you out, who will cause calamity in what you're doing.
Exactly.
Who will speak out against you publicly,
right.
and then say it's in love. This is how insidious it gets. This is how insidious it gets. You know, you have, it's not so much all the time that it's in your same organization. You have different organizations. You got, the National Action Network. You got the NAACP. You got the Rainbow Coalition. Okay? Now, for me,
right.
they all have... On some causes, they all stand the same. And then
right.
in some causes, they're separate. But sometimes
right.
on those causes that they stand the same, they speak out against one another. And I'm trying to understand why that goes on. Why that goes on. You know, Reverend Al Sharpton, he gets a lot of flack. A lot of flack. He cannot do enough. Okay, and no matter what he does, there's always, for me, those that shouldn't be talking about him, they should be standing with him, they always got something to say. Something to say.
Right.
I just saw something recently. This guy, you know, I don't want to say his name, but damn, you know what I'm going to say his name. Geraldo Rivera. You know, I don't know, what's he on? What is he on? Because for me, he's a sellout. He's a sellout.
Right.
Okay. He's a minority, whether he wants to believe it or not, he is. And he called Reverend Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and a few others con men. And I was like, wow, wow. These are both reverends, right, come out for all minorities and other races.
Right.
You just don't, they don't just have to be minorities. And for him to make the statement he made calling them con men, this cat's a sellout. This cat's
right.
a sellout. The statements that he made about what's going on in Chicago and Trayvon Martin, insane. Insane.
Right.
He said because the way that Trayvon was dressed, that's why he was killed. He also made another asinine statement saying they're dressed like thugs, that's why they're being shot.
Right.
That's insane. That's, but see,
right.
that's part of separation. That's part, because you can't seriously believe that. You got little babies getting shot, playing in their front yard. What are you talking about, Geraldo Rivera? Do you need to just be on TV to run your mouth, or who's paying you to do this? Have you been out of the, off the radar for so long, now you're trying to get back in by appealing to those who really don't care about you, but they need to use you, and you're allowing yourself to be used? That's the way I see it. That's right, I've said it, I don't care how anybody feels. If you got some feelings about it, sure, you can call in. Call in number is 258-9271. You're welcome to call in and voice your view. If you disagree, it's okay to disagree, so long as we don't attack one another. 424-258-9271. This is a constant thing that happens, Doc, constantly, you know, and it prevents us from advancing. It prevents us from advancing. And in the end, how does a person live with themselves knowing that they sold out? Dr. King, he had sellouts in his camp. Malcolm, he had sellouts in his camp. And look what it does in the long run. Look what it does. And it separates. Everyone is separated. Nobody trusts anybody anymore. You know, it's a weapon that's been used, like you said, since slavery. Because you got, you know, you've had the person who's living in the house, and you know he's really believing that master care when master is just using you. He's using you as an overseer. That's all he's using you for. You know, and you're falling for it. You're falling for it.
But
you
Tony,
know,
it's a human condition. It's a human condition. It's not a particular person. It is a human condition. It's one that affects all of us. It happens in families. It happens in different groups. It is something that all of us must be aware of, and we must fight it. It's one that is a human condition. It's a condition of the heart, mind, spirit, soul. It's one that we are born into, and you have choices, and you must decide which choice are you going to make. And that's where we all must make the choices, and you must be on guard all the time. And that's why a book like The Art of War by Sun Tzu is one that takes you to another level of looking at it from a different perspective and puts you on guard that you can apply it to something like this, and it gives you a different perspective, a different way of looking at it from a war perspective and looking at it from a way of being able to use it in your lives from a perspective, even in business. So you can use it in business. It's just a way they use it in the military. I mean, it was used in the military, and you can actually adapt it to things that are happening in our lives as far as African Americans are concerned. I mean, it's just a different perspective. I definitely think that what's happening in the black community, it's something that we could use right now, because we definitely have a lot of agents of separations in sellouts and Judas. And when I look at what's happening in the church, look at what's happening there.
Wow, Doc. I wasn't, you know, since you went in there, I guess we're going to be talking about that. But you know what? Listen, you know,
I want to
the chat room is kind of buzzing right now. I want to welcome Lady Whisper to the show. She left a comment, and she says that the TV is the biggest Judas ever conceptualized, which I'm trying to understand what she means by that. But do you have any thoughts on that, Doc?
Well, it's a matter of how you let it affect you. It can be a positive influence in your life if you take from it the things that are positive, or it can be a negative influence in your life if you take from it the things that are negative. It's a matter of what are you going to let control you? I mean, what choices are you going to make? I mean, we're big boys and girls here. You have to decide, what choices are you going to make? I mean, it's a matter of what I take from that is you have no control over it. It's like what my wife told me, what her dad taught her when boys were interested in her. I mean, if you don't want to hear what some boy has to say, hang up the phone. If you don't like what you're hearing or seeing on the television, turn it off.
Okay. Well, I agree with that. But some folks just don't seem to want to do that. And, you know, another big pet peeve I have is, why are we always the ones that sell out the most? And when I say we, I'm talking about African Americans. We sell out the most. Is it the economy? Is it, you know, is it security? Why are we always the ones that sell out the most? You know,
okay.
And you brought up church. Wow, I really don't know where to go in there, but I'm going to ask you to elaborate on that, Doc, because, you know, if I get started in there, it'll be a whole different topic. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to let you elaborate on that.
Okay, you're asking me for my perspective then.
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
From my perspective, and this is strictly mine, and so this is nobody else's. This is mine, and you're talking about ages of separation, sellouts, and Judas.
Exactly.
And so I have to go there and keep on topic. This is learned behavior. We learned this. We didn't come out of the womb and become and start out as agents of separation, sellout, and St. Judas. We learned this behavior. Behavior is a function of belief systems. You do what you do because you believe it. And so you learn that. And what's happened to us is we learned these behaviors. And you have to keep going back to coming across the ocean. There were things that we learned, and we were whipped and beat, and we had our language changed. We couldn't speak our language. We were separated. We were separated by age. We were separated by gender. We were separated by groups. We weren't allowed to speak our language. We were dehumanized. Our women were raped in front of us. There was nothing we could do about it. We were demasculated. And so when you look at the problems that we have today, I would expect us to act like we act today, being as that we had to learn a new language because we weren't allowed to use our language. We had to learn about a God that we didn't know about. Somebody had to teach us about this God that we learned about. We didn't bring God to America. They taught us about this God that hung on a cross, that had blonde hair and blue eyes, that we worship today, and we bought into this God, this Jesus, that didn't look like us, that we bought into and we prayed to. And that's okay. I'm not knocking that. I'm not knocking that. You can buy into that if you want and have a blessed day, because we're talking about ages of separations and sellouts and Judas.
Right.
And I have nothing against the Bible. I believe it. It's God's written word, holy word, and all of that. Now, you gotta take into account that since we didn't we didn't bring all of that stuff with us. We learned it. Remember, I keep talking about we learned it. We brought spirituality to America. We didn't have this language. We learned this language, and the white man didn't allow us to even go to school. He didn't allow us to read, and we had to learn all this stuff. So I believe that this is learned behavior.
Okay. Let me just, you know, I don't mean to cut you. Let me just interject for a moment.
Go ahead.
in the chat room, comment is made. What I'm getting is they disagree with I don't know if with all you're saying, but some of what you're saying. I want them to call in, but actually, so they can give their view.
Please.
But this statement is something of the, to the effect of something about choice. TV and mainstream media has never been a choice. We are surrounded by it, and we cannot escape it. Our children are consumed in media technology. Okay. Also, getting back to the fact that we're talking about sellouts and agents of separation. As I'm sitting here and I'm listening and I'm thinking at the same time, I need to ask this question. I'm putting it out there to the listeners who are listening. Are some rappers in the hip-hop industry sellouts? Are they agents of separation? If you believe that they are, or you don't believe that they are, call in 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. Or leave your comments in the chat room. But as I'm sitting here, I'm realizing, wow, this topic goes far beyond what I just mentioned as far as how they infiltrate organizations. There's different ways to sell out, and there's different ways to be agents of separation. And you don't have to be in any particular organization. There are other avenues in which that practice can go on.
Exactly.
And as I said, as I'm sitting here, I'm realizing that. Lady Whisper, if you're listening and you can hear me, please call in. I sure would have liked everybody to hear your view, because I know you do have a strong view about this topic.
And Tony,
you
hit on something when you talk about hip hop and you talk about rap. When I heard what you said, when the ladies, whoever in the chat room is disagreeing,
right?
I work with students, and they're talking about, you're talking about technology, and when they're on using technology 4 or 5 hours a day, and they're not hitting those books, that just tells me that I'm dealing with parents that their students and their child is out of control. That just tells me that that's the issue, that they don't have control of their children. That's the issue. They can disagree all they want. Until you get control of your child, that just tells me that you just, your child is just out of control. And for me, we have a couple generations of, we have not taught our children to be critical thinkers. And you're not going to become a critical thinker if your child is watching TV and into technology and not doing what they need to do to become a critical thinker. And we don't have children who are critical thinkers nowadays. They're not critical thinkers. They don't know how to think. And if you're listening to rap, and rap is putting down females and using four-letter words, and that's all they can do, and they can't put a complete sentence together, why are we... It's no surprise to me that we have a generation of, a couple generations of people that are agents of separations and sellouts in Judah. That's That's not news to me. I understand it. I expect them to do that.
Well, you know, I saw something over this weekend, right, an article I read of a black woman. She's, I don't know what she was exactly, what her title was in this particular school. But she's an African-American woman. And apparently her issue was that the school is, I think, 70% minority. And her issue was that the staff was too black. And she proceeded to disrespect the black employees of that school, calling them different names, calling them out of their name, speaking to the school administration, saying this is too black and that's too black. Now, mind you, 70% of the school is black. And the staff finally couldn't take it no more. You know, they wanted to speak up earlier, but because she was a black woman, they didn't say anything. But apparently she became very abusive with it, and it got out of hand. And they were really appalled by this woman's behavior as a black woman.
Yeah.
And the things that she was saying, the names that she was calling them, they couldn't understand. And now she's, I think she's about to be dismissed from her position. But here's an example. What I'm saying is, you thought, something in your mind told you that you would be appreciated or well-liked. I don't know what you could have been thinking to do such a thing. But, you know, this is something that goes on regularly. I'm quite sure people have this on their job. You start a job with someone, you and this person starting a job at the same time, your buddies, you know, and then that person gets a promotion, and all of a sudden there's someone else and so are you. You know, I am part of management, the same management that I talked against, I'm part of now. And never mind what we discussed, you know, I got to do what I got to do, you know. That mentality, I don't agree with. Because in the end, in the long run, rather, you will suffer. You will suffer for it. And a lot
right.
of folks, I don't know, they don't catch on to that, but it still goes on a regular basis. And you know, sometimes, in certain instances, people have lost their lives because of it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. You know, a person will sell you out for a dollar, not realizing that because they sell you out, they took food off your table.
Yeah.
You got your own folks will sell you out and not realize the severe damage they do. And then when you come at them, they try to act, will tell you, well, I'm just doing what I get paid to do. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You got paid to put me into poverty. You got paid to stop the advancement for us. Wow. What kind of person are you? You know, and I think it goes back to some of what you said as far as what's taught. Well, you know what, Doc? There's a lot of us operating off of some bad information then. You know,
right.
some really bad information. And it's hurting us as a whole. It's really hurting us as a whole. You know, I got Brother Sugar Ray on the line. I know he said he just wanted to listen. I'm going to bring him in for a moment, see if he has any comments. Brother Sugar Ray, you there? Sugar Ray, are you there? Hello? Okay, apparently he doesn't have any comments or he can't hear me, but he is clearly on the line. I'll get back to him. I saw a couple of numbers come up on the line, and then they disappeared. You can call back at 424-258-9271. We got about 35 minutes left in our broadcast. Tonight we're talking about Agents of Separation, Sellouts, and Judas. Feel free to leave your comments in the chat room. We'll be right back after a short break.
Oh, there they go. There they go.
Due to the overwhelming amount of listener requests, the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour will be expanding to 3 shows a week.
Reggie Bullock Radio Hour.
Every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m., Barbershop Talk. Call in and express your views.
Every time I start talking about boxing,
uncensored.
I bet Dr. Michael came once, and you lied.
Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m.
He beat your Lord's ass.
That's right, he did whoop your Lord's ass.
On Thursday night, join us for Lenny's Life Lessons. A former All-State basketball player and now a father, radio personality Leonard Miller shares his youthful wisdom as the co-host of the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour on Thursday nights. On Friday, join us for Harv's Funny Friday. In the tradition of Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, comedian Harvey Knowles starts your weekend off right with 1 hour of laughter on Friday night from 7 to 8. And it all starts June 6th. 2 new co-hosts, 3 incredible shows on the
Reggie
Bullock
Radio Hour.
You're listening to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. We're not just a Facebook group. We're an organization. I'm an advocate against the crisis of gun violence in America, the plague that has infested every inner city community across the nation. It's time to put in the footwork. It's time to wake up and stand up and step up. Our children are dying 24/7 at a rapid rate. We're in an election year. It's time to use the power of the vote to bring about change. Time to speak to your neighbor and say, listen, our sons and daughters are in the crosshairs of gun violence. It's time to do something. My next caller on the line, it's the co-founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. I know she has some comments tonight. Good evening, darling. Are you there? How are you?
Hey, Tony. How are you, dear?
All right. So what's your view on our topic tonight? You know, I saw some of your comments, and I was, you know, I couldn't really understand. That's why I asked you to call in so you could really break it down to us, you know, your view on what we're talking about this evening.
Yeah. Well, when I was my comment about television and basic propaganda and what I did disagree with is doctors. You know, I love docs. It's just I think that we kind of overlook that, you know, and I hear that a lot. I heard what Doc said, and I hear that a lot of, well, just turn off the TV, just turn the channel, just, you know, it's not that simple. It's just not that simple. Our children are what we're talking about right now. I mean, as far as, you know, Save Our Children goes, and that's my concern. I'm an adult. I can turn on, turn off. I don't really watch TV anyway. It's just not my thing. But that's my choice. Right now, today, you've got kids, and everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has a smartphone, iPhones, MacBooks, internet. You know, as we are on Facebook, there's like myself. I have 263 social profiles. Now I do it for business. You have children that are inundated with, you name it. There's more information forced at our children on a regular basis. And the reason why I was saying that the TV and mainstream media, like, you can't expect Geraldo Rivera, he's just another one of the agents of the entire propaganda machine. And this was instituted years ago. I mean, what I'm saying, like, in the 1800s, when the actual I believe the first press release was supposed to be put out. It was actually created as an agent of the CIA that started that. And it was to present and propagate us to be behind our government for war. So, you know, the bombing of certain places, and right now, say, the Afghanistan war, and the blah, 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 and the blah, 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 and we're supposed to be behind our government, but that's all propaganda. You know, about their buzzwords being used. And those are your agents. There's, to me, your more severe agents. You know, like, we're no longer citizens. We're consumers. We're not a citizen anymore. We're a consumer. If you don't consume, you're not happy. That is the only way that you're going to be happy today, is if you drive a certain car, if you wear certain clothes, blah, blah, blah. And that's what our kids are being consumed in. If you're not carrying a specific cell phone, if you don't have the iPhone, if you don't have the Samsung Galaxy, blah, blah, whatever, you know. So you can't expect much more than what's going on, because as far as I'm concerned, the parents are the sheep.
Ooh.
The parents are the sheep, because the parents are the ones that are sticking the kids in front of the TV, because, now, I'm going to be really honest, because they got to, you know, you got some parents that have two or three jobs. They're only trying to put food on the table. So they don't have time to spend with their children. So who takes care of their children? You know, the war.
Right.
Grand Theft Auto and Halo and whatever the new ones are nowadays. Of course, I'm dating myself by saying even those. But I'm just saying, so far as being a Judas and being, you know, traitors, that's something that I don't think that is going to be avoided, especially when it comes to political agencies. Look, I stand behind our president. You know, I have to, because he's the president of the United States. But I love my country, but this government's out of its blessed mind. You know what I'm saying? They're absolutely stark raving mad. And the 99%, the Occupy movement, that the propaganda presented as these, oh, they're just a bunch of hippies, and they're just a bunch of, and that's crap.
For sure.
You know,
for sure that's
crap.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, we're starving. But, you know, but our kids are wearing $150 shoes, but the parents are working three jobs, and they're still buying them $150 shoes. You know what I mean? Like, the kids aren't buying it. And then you want to figure out, why the kids joining gangs? Because you're not around. And I'm not, you know, trying to shove it down the throat, but I'm just trying to say it's a little more simplistic than turn off the TV nowadays. It's just, you can't just do that nowadays.
Exactly. You know, I have to agree with you, Lynn. You know, you made it, and I'm not trying to cut you off because I want you to continue. But
no,
you mentioned the thing about the sneakers, okay? I know someone, you know, they're a very low-income family, and they were telling me how they had to get this $150, $175 sneaker for their child. For their son. And I said, wow, you know, can you really afford to, you know, put out that kind of money, you know? And their rationale, because of the size of their son's foot, they have to spend that kind of money. And, wow, I truly disagreed. I was like, wow, I disagree with that. Because I know that they make a less expensive sneaker the same size for your child. But, you know, it goes back to what you just mentioned. You know,
that's a Judas right there. I mean, I hate to say it, but you're creating a Judas. You know,
exactly.
And you're a Judas to our people. You know,
exactly.
Because check this out. Now check it out. And we talk about being a Judas to our people. Okay, a white boy. Then what was the popular look? The grunge look, right? So they can go to, now the ones even that have money was wearing you know, messed up jeans and dirty sneakers and blah, blah. They could get on the train. Think about it. Think about what the TV and consumers have done to us. And we're taking it all in. Where a white boy can get on the train with his hair all messed up and the holes in his jeans and and everybody's like, you know, he's just a white boy. Let somebody black get on the train looking like that.
Wow. Wow. Hold that thought, Lynn. Hold that thought. I'm going to go back to Brother Sugar Ray. Sugar Ray, if you can hear me, I'm going to open your mic. I'm going to give you a chance to speak. Then I'm going to go back to Doc.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to bring you in. I know you've been on hold since the beginning of the show because you did say you wanted to listen a little bit. But I wanted to give you a chance to comment on some of the things that have been said tonight.
I have no comment. I'm just listening, brother.
Okay.
Cool. I just came back in town. Totally.
Hello? Sugar, are you there? You said you just came back in town, so you just wanted to listen?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to listen.
All right. I want to go back to Doc, because I know Doc has some thoughts. Doc, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You heard Sister Lynn. You know,
No, she hit it right. She hit it right on the head. The reason I said it you know, you got to turn off the TV. She's exactly right. It's not that simple. When I'm talking about turning off the TV, that's where you start. That's a starting point. And where I'm at with it, if you don't start there, you're not going anywhere. And I work in a different environment. I work in an environment where the environment that I work in, it doesn't have the issues that most folks of color, in particular African American community, works in. The environment that I work in, the parents turn off the TV, and probably 99% of the students that I work with are going to prestigious colleges. And so they have some control. And so I see a different side of the world. And so what I'm saying is, if we don't get control of our kids, we're a lost ball in high weeds. And we aren't creating critical thinkers. But Tony, again, I'm going to hit this word again, and I keep saying it every time we come on the program. We've had over 300 and some years of internalized oppression, and I keep saying that again. We've been oppressed for so long that we do it to ourselves now. No, nobody has to do it to us. We have been oppressed for so long that we do it to ourselves now. Nobody has to do it to us. We do it to ourselves. We'd rather buy some sneakers than to do something with our child or our student that's constructive. We don't know how to regulate and educate and help our children. And so she's right on with what she's saying. I don't disagree at all. I've raised two daughters, and we had rules, and my daughters followed the rules, and they were very strict. And I had lots of interaction with our daughters, and that's just the way it was. I agree 100%. No disagreement here.
Right, right. Well, I just wanted to, you know, give her a chance to give her view. You know, the case that I was speaking about earlier, about it was a school superintendent. She was accused of racial discrimination. You know, and
yeah.
This is a black woman. Okay?
Yeah.
And the 9 employees of this Seattle school filed racial discrimination complaints against her. You know, you know, how do you sell out like that? You know, against your own people, what is instilled to you to make you believe it's going to be different for you because you did that?
You know, does it take that you got to be, you know, really smacked in the face with it? Because I don't think she believed that these employees would file a complaint against her, and they have. This was due to the fact they got together and they were talking about it, and their stories became too common, and they realized we have to do something about her.
Yeah.
And now she's on the carpet for her behavior. And you know what they're going to do. Say that again, Lynn.
That's the entire education system. I mean, and I talk about that all the time because I came up privileged, you know, quote unquote privileged. I attended all private schools, and if you think about it, I mean, our children are being, you know, conditioned. As long as you go to public school, you're conditioned to go to jail, pretty much, or be institutionalized. Because I mean, just think about this: when you go to public school, correct? You go in, you go through metal detectors. They ring bells, because like Pavlov's dogs, ring a bell, you're supposed to salivate. So they ring bells, and they make them stand up against the wall, single file. They got cops in the school, the whole nine yards, correct? And then they got, and that's what it is in jails and institutions. It was originally made for factory work, so you would be able to respond to the bells of factory. But we don't have factory work anymore, so the only thing that we have now, our new factories and our new plantations are our jail system. So our children are being conditioned to become that. This is what they're mentally conditioned to. I went to private schools. I never heard a bell. We didn't ring no bell. The teachers came to us. The only time I ever had to change class was when I went to typing or I went to chemistry class. See, and then you have the Catholic schools and the religious schools that are in the middle, and they do have bells, but they have also a mixture of a little bit better education. What's going on is that the public schools are being conditioned to go to jail. And this has always been like that. And the middle schools, which will be your religious schools, they're conditioned to be middle managers, so you know what the bells are, so you know how to control the bottom, but you know how to respond to the top. And then us in the private school, we and on Ivy League, we're trained to run your life. So I am conditioned. Believe me, Tony, as you know, I'm a recovering snob. I told you that. I'm a recovering snob. I was horrible because I was taught to think and to know that I was of a different class. You were lower than me. If you didn't speak the way I spoke, if you didn't walk the way I walked, if you didn't read the books that I read, you were not on my level. They're all. And now you got to think about it. Now I'm 54. So you got like two generations between me and the kids today. And the kids, the people that are in between have been taught by who? Us. Me. I'm the one that taught the next one. And who was taught, who was teaching me? My mother and father. Who was telling me things like, just like Doc said about this internalized hate, is absolutely true. Like, and I'm gonna say it, and I'm sorry, I don't want to insult anyone, but this is the way it goes. Here's some of the stuff I used to hear growing up. If something half done, you get one nigga. If you don't want it done, if you don't want it all, you get two.
Wow.
If you're darker in a paper bag, you're not worth anything. You should be working in the field. Fields equal jail, equal factories, equal whatever that is. I'm sorry. That's it. I'll get off my soapbox.
It's okay. No, it's okay. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening, and a thought ran through my mind. Saw this in a movie. There were two slaves. You know, one was book smart and the other one wasn't. And the one that wasn't book smart, he made a comment, and the one that was book smart said to their master, "Don't ever mind him. He's just ignorant." You know, trying to shine in front of his master. You know, and his master put him. He made him do what he wanted the other uneducated black to do. So he thought his comment was going to score him some points, and it didn't. That's what I'm saying. His comment didn't. You know, are some of them sellouts.
Who are dark up and blue? Don't let us hang around this town and let what others say come true. We're just good for nothing, they all figure. A boy should grown up, should just jitter. Now we can't hardly stand for that, or is that really where it's at? We people who are darker than the blue, we got no time for segregating. Let's talk about brown and yellow too. How yellow, girl, can't you tell? You're just the surface of our dark deep well. If your mind could really see, you'd know your color. Same as me. Pardon me, brother, as you stand in your glory. I know you won't mind if I tell the whole story. Be an even brighter day.
listening to EIESOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Tonight, we're talking about agents of separation, sellouts, and Judas. Our calling number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. I'll bring you in on our discussion. My next question, before I went to break, I wanted to ask some of our hip-hop rappers today, have they sold out for the dollar? I'm going to pose that question to a brother. He says he's listening, but I really want to hear his view because he's a younger man. Let me say that because he is a man. He's just a younger man. But Brother Sugar Ray, I want to know your view on that. Hello? Sugar Ray, did you hear my question?
Yeah, I'm at as loud where I'm at.
Well, I don't hear any background right now, so... Can you quickly answer that question?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Do you believe that some of our rappers in the hip-hop industry have sold out their people for a dollar?
It's sellouts all over the world, people, traders.
But I'm asking about rappers right at the moment. I
don't think that whether or not the answer is no or yes helps us solve the problem of a mental disorder.
Okay.
People allowing themselves to be misled or misguided, you know, of elders not guiding children, making excuses, you know. I don't think whether the answer is yes or no, because there will always be someone with deceit in their heart who will deceive someone. There will always be someone who will mislead someone when they have a chance at influencing them. They will influence them negatively as opposed to positively. There will always be that. There has always been and there will always be. So I don't think talking about it in a specific community or culture helps us solve the problem that we know exists worldwide in every culture.
Okay. Well, hold on to that for a minute, Sugar Ray. I want to see what Doc's view is. Doc, you heard the question?
Yeah.
Do you believe that there's a negative, let me say it like this, that some of our rappers today have sold out?
Yeah, I think most definitely they've sold out. I think anytime you introduce money into the situation, and lots of it, I think to these young folks that are, and even to old folks, are going to make a lot of money, a lot of bling, and a lot of greenbacks. Yeah, I think they've sold out. And listen to the lyrics of the songs. They're downgrading to women. And look at some of the stuff that they're doing. Yeah, they've sold out. I mean, there's no sense in trying to tiptoe around the subject. Yes, most definitely they've sold out. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, I can't say that they all have sold out. You know, money is the attraction, lots of money, you know, and... My next question I have to pose, because I heard someone say this to me when we were talking about sellouts. In the discussion, the individual said to me that every man or woman has their price. And I disagree, Doc, but I'm going to ask Lynn, what is her view on that?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Actually, because I was thinking about myself at that moment. I'm gonna say about the rappers. That's a hard question, only because I think I'm gonna say 75 to 80% of them are sellouts and they don't even know it. Like they really think, you know, that they're being blacked. You know what I mean? And they're really, you know, being rebellious or being whatever it is that they think they're being. And they're sellouts, but they have no idea that they're even selling out. They really don't. And then now, so far as like every person having their price, I don't know. You know, now I'm gonna say this. I'm a real, would you know me, a bit of a revolutionary type thinker, and but that doesn't mean that I don't work for a corporation actually at this moment. I'm not, and I work from home. I have my own business and everything. But I also have I have two clients actually, and one is a large corporation that we all know. I'm not going to mention the name, but one is a large corporation that we all know, and I do customer service for them. And so, am I a sellout? I had to really think about that while you were talking, because I want to pay my rent. I also want to eat, and you know, and do stuff like that. So, am I a sellout for even working for such? You know what I mean?
Right.
Is any of us a sellout because we go to work every day? You know, and that's why I said that's kind of a hard question. You know, the rapper question may be a little bit, it's a little convoluted too, because, like, you know, all music, like, how can we say, like, it's heavy metal a sellout? You know what I mean? Cause
okay.
We ever listened to some of the lyrics from heavy metal, and you know I like heavy metal, but if you like, you listen to some of those lyrics, they're kind of rough too now. You know, and they've been rough way before rap came into fashion. You know what I mean? So like I've always listened to music like The Last Poets. You know, we don't hear about them anymore. You know, and
right.
So. That's a very, very hard question. Do we all have a price? I don't know. Would you quit your job because you know that corporation that you have right now, not you personally, I'm saying, but anybody listening, would you quit your job right now on principle that the corporation that you know they're getting products made in China and they're not here in the United States, or that they don't hire blacks on in their managerial status.
I follow what you're saying, Lynn, you know, and, you know, I don't know. My rationale or justification, I guess maybe you could call it, I'm looking at what would my position be in that company. Is that, you know, is that position causing me to sell my soul, you know? Is that position causing harm to others? You know, I guess I would have to weigh it out on that, you know, before I jump up and say, well, I'm quitting and it's not right morally and I'm standing on a principle, you know, because, yes, we all have to eat, we all have to survive, we all have to function in today's society. But to what limit will we go to? To what level will we go to, you know? That, you know, when I thought about that, when the guy said that to me, and I was like, wow, there is nothing that I could truly believe that would make me sell out my own or cause someone else some uncomfortability for my own well-being. I just don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. But he was adamant about everyone has their price. Well, okay, that's your view. You know, I just didn't agree with it. Doc, do you think everyone has their price?
Well, it just depends on what situation it is. There's some things that, you know, I just wouldn't do. I mean, you know. When it comes to my family, what are you willing to die for? I mean, I just think that some things you just don't do.
I agree. You know, an example of it, I, you know, a few years ago, and I think some
some of you are familiar with it, this comedian, he was having such success with his show, I think they offered him like $50 million, and he refused it. You know, and everybody could be. You know, it was like, well, they offered him $50 million. Why did he not take it? You know, he went away. I don't even think his show is on anymore. You know, but they offered him $50 million. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And he said no. Because of whatever he believed in, he said no. You know, so, you know, he's an example to me that it can be done.
Yeah.
That it can be done, because $50 million is a lot of money. You know, someone
right.
coming to you with $50 million is $50 million. All you have to do is X, Y, Z. Now, you or I or Lynn or whoever's listening may say, you know what, it's $50 million. I may never get another shot like this again in life. And take
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, who could really be mad at him for feeling that way? What right would I really have at being mad at them? You know? Listen, it's been a great discussion. Unfortunately, our time is short. It's a time to close the show. I want to thank you for calling in, Doc, Brother Sugar Ray, and, of course, the co-founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, Lynn Miller. Listen, these are questions we ask ourselves all the time. What would I do? Well, in a nutshell is this. Money will definitely change things in your life, but how much would it take for you to sell your soul? Me, I have no idea. I really try not to give it that much thought. This topic came across my mind, and I wanted to hear from the callers and the listeners to really find out how much influence does the dollar have. And apparently, it has a lot. Lynn broke it down. Doc broke it down. It has a lot. And I think we have given up our morals in some instances, our consciences, and it has hurt us in a lot of different areas. It has hurt us with our troubled youth and young adults. They need help out there. They're not getting what they need because those who can help are not helping. They're being given money to help these kids, and they're not using the money to help them. They're using the money for something else. Doc mentioned Judas in church. Wow, you know, that's a whole nother show, but I understand where he's coming from. Because for me, they're agents of adversity. But we're going to talk about that another time. Listen, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Again, my name is Tony Nix. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Listen, our children are dying. You got to get involved. If you don't know how, find out how. Lives are at stake. Our children need some help. There's a crisis in America. It's gun violence. It's happening 24/7. We got to stop it. We got to get to the root of what's going on. We got to find out why and how they're getting their hands on these weapons, who's allowing it, because someone knows, someone is responsible. Is it a plan? Yes, I believe it is. Our children are being set up to fail through education, through media, from a lot of various sources. It's time to stop it. Time to get involved. Time to say no. Time to come out in the streets in full force. Stop the marching. Stop the shouting. It's time for action, and the action is roll up your sleeves. Make your vote count this year. Step to those who make decisions and say, we want this and we want that. Our kids need mentoring. They need centers. They need workshops. They need anger management. They need help in mental health. There's some parents out there who need help with parental skills. These are the things we need to be demanding for our communities. There was a police commissioner in the city of New York said it the other day. I know a lot of people to disagree with him, but I got to tell you, I agree with him. He said the communities are not getting involved enough, and he is absolutely right as far as I'm concerned. He put it on the leaders in the community. Okay, they're also part of it, but what about the regular people in the community? Okay, these leaders need the people in the community by their side, and the people in the community need to start making these leaders accountable. It's a voting year, y'all. It's an election year. A lot of your leaders want to be reelected. Or you got those who are running for the first time in office. Let them know what you want and when you want it. And we want it right now. We don't want no promises. We don't want no maybes. We want it right now. We don't want to hear about what you can't do. We want to know what you can do. Because we got a plague in our community, and it's called gun violence, and it's killing our youth. Listen, tune in this week. I got another great topic coming up. Assume that we can get to practicing no violence, the sooner we will begin to experience no peace. That's KNOW Deuces. This is Tony Nix. Till next time, keep the faith.
Light is there. Yeah, yeah. You see, I come from Mississippi. I was young and running wild. Ended up in New York City, where I had my first job. I named the boy Nasir. All the boys call him Nas. I told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive. Let's go.
I'm the magnificent.
Hey, 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 hey. Chuck Berry of this rap skit. Styles I mastered. Many brothers snatched it up and tried to match it. But I'm still number one, everyday real. Speak what I want, I don't care what y'all feel. Cause I'm my own master. My pop told me be your own boss. Keep integrity at every cost. And his home was Natchez. Mississippi did it like Miles and Dizzy. Now we getting busy, bridging the gap from the blues to jazz to rap. The history of music on this track. Born in the game, discovered my father's music like Prince searching through boxes of Purple Rain. But my Minneapolis was the bridge, home of the super kids. Some are well known, some doing bids. I might have ended up on the wrong side of the tracks if Pops wouldn't have pulled me back and said, yo, yo.
Yeah, I come from Mississippi. I was young and running wild. Ended up in New York City,
New York,
where I had my first child.
That's me, y'all.
I named the boy Nasir.
Yeah.
All the boys call him Nas.
That's what's up.
I told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive. Greatest man alive.
The blues came from gospel, gospel from blues. Slaves were harmonizing them ahs and oohs. Old school, new school, no school rules. All these years I've been voicing my blues. I'm an artist from the start, hip hop got in my heart. Graffiti on the wall, could've ended in Spoffit. Juvenile delinquent. But Pops gave me the right type of tools to think with. Books to read, like X and stuff. Cause the school said the kids had dyslexia. In art class, I was a compulsive sketcher of. Teachers in my homeroom, I drew pics to mess them up. Cause none of them would like my style. Read more books than the curriculum profile. Said, Mr. Jones, please come get your child. Cause he's writing mad poems and his verses are wild.
I was born in Mississippi. I was young and running wild. Moved to New York City, where I had my first child. I named the boy Nasir. All the boys.
boy, I told him now. I told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive. Greatest man, the great, greatest man alive.
Hey, my papa was not a rolling stone. He'd been around the world blowing his horn. Still he came home. Then he got grown, changed his name to Olu. Come on, tell him about all the places you've gone to.
I've been to Saudi Arabia, Mozambique.
Yeah.
Madagascar, Paria Street.
Uh-huh.
But little Africa is where we live.
Yeah.
Better known as Queensbridge.
Nah, you don't stop. Olu Dara in the house, you don't stop. Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, you don't stop. From the blues to street hop, you don't stop. Tell them, Pop.
Yeah, I come from Mississippi.
Let them know.
I was young and running wild.
Running wild.
Ended up in New York City.
Yeah.
Where I had my first child.
That's me.
I named the boy Nasir.
Yeah, Daddy.
All the boys call him now.
Love you, boy.
I told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive.
You the greatest, Pop.
Greatest man alive.
You the greatest, Pop.
The greatest man alive.